Hi everyone, welcome to the Advantage Investment Podcast. Today, me and Ryan are going to bring to you how to get started in property investments, and we're going to help clear up some very frequently asked questions when it comes to investing in property, from the where's, the what's, the how's and the who's.
Yeah, perfect. Obviously, myself and Dan are the sales managers here at Advantage Investment, and we've obviously been with the company from the very beginning, and we've watched it grow. Last year, Dan, great year, huh?
Solid year. We won, was it, how many awards? 10?
10 plus awards, finished the year super strong, picked up Best Property Agency in the UK, now nominated for Best Property Agency across Europe. So good way to end the year.
Good stuff. Exciting. Good to see the team grow. And I'm looking forward to what this year's got in stock.
So Dan, look, let's jump straight into it. One of the most common questions that we're getting asked from new investors is, well, how do you get started?
How? I suppose strategy has got to come into it at the very first start. And there's so many different avenues when you're looking at investing. Obviously, you've got completed properties, apartments, freeholds, off-plan, students. Mm-hmm. You've got all these different types of investments. And ultimately, before I think you start looking at options, you've got to understand why you're investing in property. Why property? And then also you've got to think about a strategy. Are you doing it by yourself? Do you want it to be a full-time job? Or do you want the guidance of an expert in the industry?
Okay. So from experience from ourselves, what are some of the reasons why people come to us with their why? What's their why for investing?
Usually, and you probably found it yourself as well, is like people who want future growth. Mm-hmm. Usually the big common one is inheritance, savings, liquidating companies, people who are looking for retirement pots, future growth for their children, looking to leave a legacy or a portfolio later down the line. Usually that's what people want, or even the common one is to supplement income. People who are looking to sort of take a step back from their day-to-day life or their job.
Maybe go part-time.
Part-time, travel the world, all those kind of things like that. So there's no one-size-fits-all when it comes to it, as you've probably seen.
Yeah, perfect. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Everyone's looking to try and create that generational wealth. You know, they've worked super hard all their lives. They want to invest that money, maybe trying to create that separate pension pot for the future. And, you know, for us as agents and as a company, it's our sole purpose and focus to help clients understand what investments and strategies are going to work, like you said, whether it's buying freehold houses, whether it's buying off plan, whether it's buying holiday homes, student properties. I feel like we have a good mixture of investment opportunities that, you know, appeals to every type of investor out there.
It definitely does. And I think that's why we have had the recognition, all thanks and all credit to our investors. But in terms of the recognition for how we operate, we're not an estate agent based in Liverpool. People hear you're from Liverpool, they only have, oh, I don't want a property in Liverpool. And that's fine. Not everyone does. You might want to manage it yourself. So it's why we are where we are, I think, because of the scale of operation that we've got in terms of as far up as the Northeast to as far down as the Southwest.
And what type of services as a company do you feel is so important for clients to know when they come and speak to us? What can we handle for them?
People feel listened to when they come to us. Mm-hmm. People feel like we actually care and looking after what they want. We're not just trying to palm them off, sell them on property and wish them on the way. It's going through the whole process. So whether they want just to find the property for them, as you know, we can get that. There's the property. Some people do want to manage it themselves. They want to turn property into a full-time job. I think from experience, most clients prefer their money to work for them. Mm-hmm. So they want that hands-off approach.
Yeah.
So from making the initial inquiry to going through the consultation for us to guide them in the way of, is this the right investment for you? Sending comparables, sharing the pros and cons, going through the legal process, keeping them updated with build progress, working closely with mortgage brokers, lenders. And that's the other important thing. We've got a very good relationship with a lot of companies that aren't just ourselves. 100%. You've got that trusted brokers, you've got the trusted legal advice. And then when it comes to the completion, you know that it's all about the time and you don't want to get in too early, don't want to do it too late. So it's about us understanding, and I think between the two of us, the experience that we've got, the situations that we've been through, it definitely helps. It definitely helps us give that perspective that a first-time investor is never going to know.
No, of course. And for a first-time investor, a lot of the time they want their hands held. So like you said, we offer that full service from finding the right investment, negotiating the best terms, recommended solicitors, accountants that can help clients set up a limited company, be tax savvy, mortgage brokers, and also management companies. So just offering that free 360 service for them. So look, if I'm an investor, first time coming to yourself, Dan, how do I start? What sort of things that as an investor do I not really think of when I'm first getting into this? What additional costs that come with not just putting a deposit down for buying a property?
That's a good question, because yesterday I actually spoke with a lady and she mentioned she had about £50,000 as a deposit.
Mm-hmm.
And she was quite transparent. She shared two properties that she'd been sent over by another agent at 200K.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she didn't actually know before making the call to them she needed 25% of a deposit.
Right.
She thought she only needed 10%.
Okay.
It's her first time making an investment.
Yeah.
So fortunately enough, she did have a healthy deposit, but they sent her properties for 200K. It's the oldest trick in the book, what a lot of companies do. You've seen it before. And then telling the client, sending the emails, you've got 25% for the property price.
Yeah.
She could commit to it. And then
That's a full deposit gone.
Obviously, you've got stamp duty to think about. That's not always the same with every property. It depends on the type of property, if it's an apartment. And again, we've got the connections where people can give that advice for the stamp duty.
And the stamp duty has just changed as well.
Just changed, and it's changing again.
Okay.
So,
things that people are not really...
Things that people aren't aware about. Now, you've got the legal fees, the disbursements. You've also got potential furnishing packages.
Mm-hmm.
Not too common with us, because obviously the off plan, it's all brand new.
Yeah.
But the occasional properties when people are looking at, they might need refurbishments or touch-ups.
Yeah.
The legal fees, again, just to go back to that, there's no one size fits all. It depends how much work the solicitor's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the legal firm. So it's all about balancing that as well. You've got lenders' fees, brokers' fees.
Yeah.
It's more than just the deposit that people need.
And it is.
It's important that people know about that.
And that's something that we're very transparent with from the get-go, is if you come to us with £50,000, we need to find out, is that including your stamp duty? Is that including your legal fees?
Definitely.
Et cetera. As opposed to, like you just said, that lady's come, she's been sent two examples, she thinks £50,000, great. But clients also need to think of having a contingency in place, because, you know, worst case scenario, and we always look at worst case scenario.
Yeah.
If you buy a property and it may take a month to find the right tenant, as a landlord, you're the person that has to cover
the service
charge and
absolutely,
you know, the mortgage payment. So having that bit of extra buffer, that's so important. Obviously, our prime focus is to make sure that there is a tenant ready to move into that property
mm-hmm.
when that client takes over. But we have to look at worst case scenarios with investing. There's always risk, right?
Absolutely. And I think you've just nailed it on the head. Worst case scenario is always the best way to look at it. It's always, from experience, better to look at all the risks
mm-hmm.
and the worst case scenario, because then it can only get better. Whereas a lot of companies are just, I say not companies, sorry, a lot of people who have sort of heard through the industry, and you've sort of had clients come to me and say, this is what I've been told.
Yeah.
And they're just painting such a big picture. And I think it's great. It's always good to be like that, but you've got to be prepared, because any situation you go into, whether it's an investment or a normal purchase, you need to know and you need to be protected, because
100%.
You need that breathing space as you're going through it. It's meant to be exciting. It's meant to be fun. But you can also do it sensibly along the way.
Okay. And what would you say are some of the pros and cons to investing?
Good question. I'll start with the cons, because mm-hmm. it's always good to understand that. So I suppose the downsides to it is uncertainty for a lot of people. We can make a lot of educated forecasts
mm-hmm.
and we can use history
mm-hmm.
as the greatest trajectory of the future, as they say. So it's always good to use analytics and look at future growth, look on certain, like Savills, for example, do a fantastic future forecast
mm-hmm.
for the rental market, for the capital growth.
Every 5 years.
Yeah. So the rental yields, Rightmove and Zoopla, those kind of systems are good to use as tools and to use guidelines in terms of the financial stability mm-hmm. for people. But that's the biggest con, I'd say, is just element of risk factor,
mm-hmm.
the unknown mm-hmm. and going into it. And there's obviously things like with any property, there's void periods and things like that. There's the loss of capital if something was to go wrong with any investment, whether it's stocks, shares, bonds.
Yeah.
anything. You could buy a house, which is you're living in. It's still an investment. If the window gets broken or the boiler breaks, that's a risk because you're then paying that out. So yeah,
of course,
with everything, there's always going to be downsides. But I suppose the pros, there's the reasons why you get into it. What are you looking for? Future growth, capital growth, rental income. You've got passive income. It's literally making your money work for you, as you know.
It's a tangible asset.
Exactly. When you bought your house, you know it's growth. You know it's going to grow in value. You know, and you get an equity, and it's just something safe to put your money into.
I know, bricks and mortar, yeah. It's always going to be there. There's always going to be someone that needs to rent. Property prices historically have always gone up. So yeah, that is definitely a good pro. Any more cons, would you say, that maybe people face along the way? And we try to be as transparent. You mentioned about the rental and the forecasts. I think something we do very good here is not over-exaggerate the rentals. You do see that sometimes when you come up against competitors and they, you know, a client says, I've got, you know, a competitor sent me this in property and this is the rental. And you think, well, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Really? Is that property going to generate you that income? So I think what we do very well and sometimes may put off investors is we actually
make it realistic.
Very conservative, right? We look at worst case scenarios. So we underestimate what the rent could be as a worst case. And I think anything over that is a massive bonus.
Absolutely.
For investors.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's probably one of the cons is just in terms of like, it goes back to the uncertainty, which is why if you take the conservative approach like we do, you don't get that. You don't get that uncertainty and it can only get better realistically. If you've got an apartment where realistically it might get a one bedroom for £1,000 a month, if you put it as say 950, then you know you've got that barrier and it's a good baseline to start with.
Absolutely. And Dan, I want to touch on something that a lot we seem to be finding a lot lately. I don't know why, but a lot of investors are coming to us who are close to retirement. They've got children, they've got assets, or they've got X amount of money, and they want to make sure that money is put to good use for their children's generational wealth. And so some clients are a bit uneducated as to, you know, buying properties within their own name, and what the tax implications could be. So, I mean, what's some advice that we give them to obviously speak to an accountant, but what's some of the base knowledge we know and what's the best way to buy property?
Goes back to the limited company, doesn't it? It goes in terms of protecting your asset and protecting you as a person going into the company. There's not an endless amount of benefits to it, but there's certainly a lot more benefits than there is downsides.
Okay. Is that to do with like inheritance tax?
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously if you've got the limited company, you can, again, it's always advisable to speak to the accountant.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not an accountancy train, but from conversations with accountants where, you know, they've sort of advised that you can give the advice to people that they can set the limited companies up, they can add people on as shareholders, as eventually the company develops, they can leave, the shareholder can move up into the company.
So what you're saying is worst case scenario, you know, things happen if, let's say, a parent passed away because that property has been bought within that limited company.
It
can be passed on to the child, so they inherit the company,
exactly,
which means they're not having to pay the inheritance tax. Is that
exactly? Exactly. There's, again, the terms of pros and cons. There are negatives to it in terms of you may potentially be facing sort of higher interest rates at first, but then when you can leverage against the sort of the tax reliefs and other things that come along with it.
I think that's, sorry to cut you off there, that's quite important. Back to the interest rate. So buying for a limited company, what you're saying is, you would typically pay or have a higher interest rate on your mortgage?
Slightly so. And what we found is people, if they are a homeowner already, and then they've got the banks will look at them as more favorable, won't they? So they're going to look at them and say, okay, well, this person we've borrowed before, they pay the regular mortgage payments on property. It does favor them. But at the end of the day, it's a brand new company.
Of course.
Most people that will set up a company to buy their property through. So if they're going to set the property up, then it's brand new. They're going to set the company up. It's brand new. So the lenders are looking at it as not that person as such, but the company.
High risk.
Yeah. It's a brand new company. There's no proven track record.
Yeah.
So at first the bank are going to give them, they may get a lower loan to value rate. I've seen that before where people that the lenders look and say, look, a bit more high of a risk. We need a slightly bigger deposit. So 30% of the deposit is quite common. But in terms of the long-term picture, if their goal is to grow a portfolio in the long run, it's better because
you've had it before, and I've had it before as well, where you've said you recommended it. It's out of some people's comfort zone, which is, look, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they've exchanged in their own name, at a later date, they've spoken to a family member who's not a stranger, who's told them, buy it in a company, and then by then it's too late. It's always good. And that's why we do rein a lot of people in. I think you'll find, and a lot of investors, when they're like, I want to do it. And it's like, well, steady on, make sure we get this. So it's a tick box, make sure everything's checked off. Because once you've gone ahead with it and you've committed, it's not necessarily too late, but it can be a bit trickier. So,
and that's why right at the very beginning, it's more of a discovery, isn't it? It's more the case of not speaking to someone on the first call and saying, here's the investment, do you want it or not? It can take a week, it could take a month, it could take 6 months in some cases, because, you know, all of those, what you're saying there, they're super important, and making sure that we put all of those in place for the client and before they make an informed decision investing.
Absolutely. And I've always found it, I don't know about yourself, we've had this conversation before where we get investors phone in and they're just really excited, just dead excited. I want the information, send it over. I'm really happy, I'm really keen. And then those investors who didn't want to have the initial sort of consultation, they didn't want us to ask questions, they just want the information.
Mm-hmm.
When we found out later down the line, if they've sort of gone somewhere else or they've done something off their own back, they've gone through their own journey,
mm-hmm.
they come back with so many questions and they've made mistakes.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like, but then the alternative where I've had them myself quite recently, actually sort of 20 to 30 minutes, so quite long calls with people as a first call, and we've never spoke about a particular investment or a specific property.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been understanding more about that situation and where they wanted to go. And those clients who do that and invest that time at first, not investing money, invest that time,
100%,
definitely walk out knowing a lot more, and they know a lot, they understand a lot more which way they want to go.
So with yourself, Ryan, in terms of, because I know we do get asked this a lot in terms of what are the risks, and we touched on it before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you've got a tenant, you're the investor.
Yeah.
What can go wrong? Like, you've gone through that journey.
Yeah.
Everything's been exciting. You've learned a lot. You've been educated. You've started off knowing nothing about property. Now you've completed and your tenant's in the door.
Mm.
What can possibly go wrong?
Great question. So I'm sure we've all heard the saying, buy cheap, buy twice. And sometimes what we find is some investors want to try and cut corners. They want to cut costs, whether that be with the reputable management company or buying cheap properties is sometimes a bargain property, is what they call it. So you've got a
20 grand discount.
Yeah. So from actually purchasing the property to actually getting the management company to take over and manage that property, if you don't find the right management company because you're trying to save a percent here or 2% here, if they're not doing their correct due diligence on that tenant, reference, credit check, deposit protection, and they just put anyone into the property, the worst thing that could happen is you have a tenant in there who may not pay the rent. And as a landlord, rights have changed and will continue to change, where it becomes increasingly harder to remove that tenant from the property.
Okay.
And this is another reason why, you know, respectfully, when we talk about buying in locations that are well below the value, it's the type of tenant that you're trying to attract, right? You know, we aim to attract professional workers, maybe a family as well. These seem to be statistically more sustainable tenants within your property who can pay the rent every month, and you tend to have little to no issues, unless something internally happens to the property. So what I'm trying to say here, Dan, is that don't skimp on trying to find a cheap management company because you're going to save an extra 20 quid here or 30 pound here, because that could be very costly, thousands, potentially mortgage arrears. So what I'm saying is just make sure that you're doing everything correctly to better manage the risk.
I suppose 8% of a secure investment is much better than 10% of an unsecure investment, isn't it?
It is.
So the numbers might work, but then if you've got the void periods, if you've got tenancy issues, or even if you've got maintenance issues in terms of things that happen to the property, just going to eat into your returns, isn't it? So if you look at the ROI from when you got in to when you're getting out, mm-hmm. the entry to the exit of the investment, if you've had loads of costs in between, mm-hmm. and the yield was higher, eventually not going to be a good return, is it?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, some estate agents, the way they would operate is that, you know, if you start negotiating terms right down, you've got two properties in the same location, they're going to fill the property, which, you know, that they're being paid the
makes sense
more money for.
Well, I suppose it comes down to the research and market research and finding the right property. So what mm-hmm. would you say we do? But what would you say the reason is why people do approach us?
Mm-hmm. Great question. So, I mean, number one, our marketing and research team are incredible, and they're constantly every single day looking at statistics, putting together all of that vital information for people like myself and you. We're able to educate ourselves, and then we're able to educate the sales team who can then, definitely. You know, give everyone else that knowledge and educate people on how the market is constantly changing and evolving.
What do you think about the what do you think about all the consultants we've got in terms of their thirst for knowledge?
It's great. Great student mentalities. They're always wanting to learn and develop and understand that the market constantly changes. You can't be stale in this game. So the fact that, you know, we've always got a lot of information that we can constantly grow with, and they're able to absorb that and, you know, get that information out to their investors. It's why we've been voted the best property agency in the whole of the UK, I'd say.
So you've explained in terms of what we do to me, but I don't know you, but you've just helped me. I'm one of your clients. I've just called in. You've helped me understand the market. You've chosen a property. How does it work? How does the process work? You find me the investment. I like it. It works well. Ticks all the boxes. What happens?
Yeah, great question. So with a standard investment, how it would work is you would typically put down a reservation deposit. That deposit is used to hold the property within your name.
Okay.
Takes off the market, stops anyone else from being able to come in and say, I'll pay an extra £20,000 more for that property. That property is secured in your name. Okay, now we then have a list of recommended solicitors who are experts within that field. They work independent to us and they have a duty of care to you as the investor. Yeah. So we make the recommendation. You don't have to choose them. It's completely up to yourself. But if you're looking for someone who's an expert within the field and they're going to be cost effective in that respect, then the recommended solicitor is highly recommended.
Okay.
So you'd be in touch with them. You'd go through a process of the client care letter, terms of business, which is agreeing the terms of business with the solicitor. And their job is to work for you. So the purchaser, the client, and the developer or the seller, they would send over a draft contract to the buyer's solicitor, and it's their job to do due diligence and to make the initial inquiries until they're satisfied with that contract, in which they'll then report out to the client or my client, your client. Once that...
Is that doing... Sorry to butt in. The company situation with the limited company side. Can I do that before or do we do it?
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends really. It depends on how many properties are left. If there's just one of those left, sometimes people want to get the reservation fee in and then we can help set the limited company up in the background.
Oh, so I can do that afterwards?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That process is pretty straightforward. Our accountant, we put you in touch with one of the accountants.
Do I have to do that before I go to the solicitors and the legal process?
Before you go right through it, then yes, but we can have that done within 72 hours. Yeah. It's as simple as being in contact with the accountant, selecting your company name, being set up through Companies House, registered, that name's passed on to the solicitor, and you proceed forward. And then obviously from that point, once you exchange on contracts, if you're buying a completed property, obviously your mortgage application has been submitted in the background. Again, we've got reputable brokers that can help clients find very competitive interest rates and mortgages. And so once the mortgage is in place, once the contracts have been exchanged, you would complete simultaneously. We'll also have that management team in place as well, knowing that you're about to complete. If you're buying a completed property with a tenant, perfect. But if you're buying one that hasn't yet had that tenant because it's maybe a new build, then we'll be actively looking for tenants for that property during that process, so that once you get your keys, we can have a tenant in your property and the investor's making an immediate income. That is pretty much the process. Cool. So Dan, obviously anyone who's taken the time today, thanks by the way, to listen to this podcast, the first of many to come. If they're very interested in finding out more on how to invest, maybe investment strategies or some of the investments we have on our website or even the exclusive off-market stock we have, how do they get in contact?
Straight to the website. Have a look at the website, www.advantageinvestment.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
Have a look around, get a good feel for us. And Browse. Then there's a couple of ways. If they want to phone in, have a direct conversation with one of the agents, 0151-433-9300. Or they can email us, contact@advantageinvestment.co.uk.
Okay.
Even give us a follow on social media. So our Advantage Investment LinkedIn, Instagram and Facebook are always posting updates.
Perfect.
So get in touch via them.
All the platforms.
That's the one.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining in, and we look forward to many more podcasts.
Thank you very much.